Welcome again to our study on the end times, and in particular, this series on the book of Revelation. We have come to chapter 6, where we see the opening of the seals. Now, the seals, you will remember, were those that were on the book, on the book that was in the right hand of God the Father, and only Jesus was found worthy to open them. But now we have the opening of these seals. And this starts the first of a three-tier judgment upon the earth. There are the seals, there are the trumpets, and there are the vials of the last judgments of God. And so we're looking at the opening of the seals now in chapter 6. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." So John is going to see what will happen when these seals are opened in the last days upon earth. They're awesome. The first one, he sees a white horse, and he that sat upon him had a bow and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering to conquer. And there we have the thought of what Jesus said, "Nation shall rise against nation, and there shall be wars and rumors of wars." And so the opening of the first seal presages conflict amongst the nations, the like of which we have never seen. Now the second seal is another horse, for these are called the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And this other horse was red, and power was given to him that sat upon it to take peace from the earth. If there's anything that mankind has desired throughout all generations, it is peace. The cry for peace has echoed from century to century. And yet, in fact, there is only one way to peace, and that is through the person of the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul speaks of peace with God when he says in Romans chapter 5 that we are justified by peace, therefore we have peace with God. Now, what does that mean? It simply means this, that if one looks at, for example, a typewriter, and one types, one side of the page is perfectly straight. The other, if you type like me, is in and out like that. Well, when you take that to a printer, he straightens up that side so that it becomes as straight as this side. And he calls that justifying. That's exactly what the Lord does. He is perfectly straight, and we are crooked like that. And line upon line, he straightens us up. And as we submit to his straightening of line upon line, then we have peace with God. If we react and object and fight, we lose our peace. And so there is peace with God. But then the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of my peace I will give unto you. In John's Gospel, in that last night before his crucifixion, he said, "My peace I give unto you." And if I could put it like this, from a personal experience, that I was in a certain city a number of years ago, and that night I prayed, as one generally prays before one goes to sleep, and I got a scripture, "Troublous times are coming." Well, being a student of Revelation, I thoroughly agreed with that. But I didn't ask the Lord why he had given me that scripture on that particular evening. The following morning, because we had gone to bed very late, It was about 8:15 in the morning. My wife had already gotten up, because wives get up before the husbands, and I was still in bed. And then suddenly, the window shook. They seemed to come in and out. There were cracks in the walls. The floor went up and down. And I said to my wife, "Whatever is happening?" And she, who had been accustomed to these things, said, "Well, this is an earthquake." Well, before we could pray, and she sat on the bed with me, it was like a canopy of peace came upon us. And as I sat up in the bed with her, I looked and watched the walls crack, the floors go up and down, the windows come in and out. It was as though I was watching something on TV. We were covered with the peace of God. Now then, that earthquake did millions of dollars of damage. But to us, it was as though we were covered with the peace of God, and we were watching as though it was happening on TV. Other earthquakes I've been in since then, many of the aftershocks, covered with the peace of God. It is so very wonderful. You know, God promised me when I was a student at Bible school that He would give me the covenant of His peace. And it is so very wonderful to have the peace of God. You see, the world looks for peace as absence of war. But the Christian has a peace that can take him through war. And I want to encourage you to know Christ as the Prince of Peace, who can, as Paul said, cover us with the peace of God that passeth all understanding, that our hearts and minds be covered with that peace. That is what we need, and especially at a time like this, when the second seal is broken, that red horse comes forth and takes peace from the earth. Surely, you see, as it says, one will kill one another, a time of terrible tragedy. But for those who seek peace in this world, there will be nothing but fear that grips them. Whilst a Christian who knows the Prince of Peace and is covered by that peace will be able to pass through that period of time with equanimity and even with a sense of joy, knowing that they are covered and protected by the Prince of Peace. Now then, when the third seal was opened, we find that the horse this time is a black horse, and that this angel that is on the black horse has a balance in his hand, and food is measured with great severity, because as we transliterate these measurements and these monies into our days, we can say this, that virtually all our day's wages will be taken up by just paying for food. So severe will become the food crisis in the world when this third seal is opened. Now then, we come to the fourth seal. And here we have an even more dreadful horse, which is a pale horse. And on him there was a name, Death and Hell followed him. What an awesome thing. Wherever this horse, this angel goes, death will come. And those who die through this angel will go down into hell. And I want to say this about hell, that hell is a very real place. I have been there, and I know what I'm talking about. You see, as we shall see later on in the book of Revelation, it speaks of the bottomless pit. And there are various sections of hell. The Apostle Jude calls it the blackness of darkness forever. And I have been there. And I've seen that awesome darkness that you can touch and see nothing. And a terrible agony of being in darkness and having no light for all eternity. The bottomless pit, which is a pit that is actually circular in form, that people fall in and they fall continuously. How terrible this is. But you see, for those who do not know Christ, only hell awaits them. And hell is very, very real. Then, of course, in the center of hell, there is a lake of fire, of which Revelation will speak of later. And so, this terrible thing, this fourth seal, brings forth this horse, and the rider has on him the name of death. Hell follows him, and power was given to him over men, over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and the beasts of the earth. There you see war, hunger, death through diseases, and then even the beasts of the earth shall rise up against those that were once given dominion over them, like Adam was. The beasts will become mighty, and they will kill those on earth. And then we have the fifth seal. After those four terrible horsemen of the apocalypse who bring such destruction upon earth, we find the fifth seal reveals the souls of them that have been martyred for Jesus. And herein is a truth that we do not want to overlook. Because they cry out, you know, how long, thou who art holy and true, speaking to the Lord Jesus Christ, how long before you will avenge our deaths? And then they were given to them white robes, and it was said unto them, and here is a very important truth, that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also, and their brethren that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. Now, everything is in the hands of God. And God, in his sovereignty, has ordained some to be hidden in times of trouble. Others of his people lose their lives. But everything is in the hands of God. And I want to say this, that as we've said in previous lectures, that it doesn't matter what situation you face, there is that color of grace to take care of you. I want to illustrate this from history. You know, in England, which is my own country, we had persecution against the true and living church. And in some cases, people were taken to a stake. And there they had to stand and bound to that stake. And around them were placed wood, faggots of wood. And then those faggots were ignited, and then the martyrs were burnt, as it were, at the stake. Now, there were two friends, and one friend was to be martyred, and the other not. The other was to look on as his friend was martyred at the stake. And he said, before that man went to the stake, he said, I want to know whether when one is martyred, and when one is being burnt at the stake, is there the presence of God? Do you feel the pain? Does God protect? Or do you die like any other criminal that would be put to the stake? And so they had an agreement that if God was truly giving grace, and he was truly experiencing joy and experiencing no pain, he would lift his hand up as a sign. Well, his friend went to the stake. And there, the torches were applied, the wood was burnt, and the smoke came up, and the flames came, and his friend looked intently. And there he saw the hand of his friend go up, wave in such a manner that it was as though he was experiencing all the joys of heaven whilst being burnt at the stake. I want to encourage you, dear ones, that in the last days there will be many martyrs, but I tell you this, there's wonderful grace for a martyr. And he can go through that martyrdom with such triumph and such joy and peace that it's as though he's walking into the very portals of heaven during the time he's suffering his martyrdom. Well, so we go on. And then we come to the sixth seal. Lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth, the moon became as blood, the stars of the heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs. And the heaven departed as a scroll, and rolled away together. Every mountain island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth cried out, and the great men cried out. Every free man, every bond man cried out that the mountains would cover them from the eyes of the one who sat upon the throne. And I have seen this very episode. And I tell you this, that the eyes of Jesus, when we behold him now, are full of compassion and kindness and grace, understanding, comfort, and consolation. But when he comes again, he comes not as a meek and mild one, riding upon a donkey, but he comes as the awesome judge of the earth. And so when the wicked looked up and saw his eyes, they cry out, "Oh, that the mountains may cover us from him that sitteth upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" And so this era ends with the wrath of God. And this wrath is unfolded in the following chapters. But in chapter 7, we have an angel who holds four angels that bind the winds of the earth, and they are told to wait until the servants of God have the mark or are sealed in their forehead. And here are the righteous 144,000. These happen to be, there are 244,000 in the book of Revelation. These happen to be the Jews, 12,000 of every tribe. And they are marked, having the seal of God. I just want to say a little bit about the seal of God, the mark of God. In Ezekiel chapter 9, before the destruction of Jerusalem by the Babylonian army, the angels that were responsible for that city, for there are angels responsible for cities, the angels responsible for those people in the city of Jerusalem at that time of Nebuchadnezzar's siege, they were told to mark everyone that sighed and cried for the abominations that were being committed. And I tell you this, those that sigh and cry for all the wickedness that is committed in our nations today are marked by God, are noted by God. In particular, these were the 12,000 of each tribe, but one tribe's missing, the tribe of Dan. And that's significant. because of Dan, the father Jacob said, he shall judge like the other tribes. In other words, he'll be like the other tribes. But he'll be a serpent, by the way, pulling down the horsemen. And there's something here that we have to understand in the Word of God, that there are 12 tribes of Israel, and Joseph had the double portion, so he had two portions. But in those 13 tribes, there was one, Dan, who was the apostate. The judges, the book of Judges has 13 judges. One was the apostate, Abimelech. And then we have the 12 apostles, and afterwards the 13, for one replaces the apostate. We have the apostate Judas. They all look the same. The disciples did not know that Judas was an apostate. They did not know that he would betray the Lord. But how many, you know, in our own congregations, are apostate in heart? And when the Antichrist comes, they'll accept him rather than wait for the true Christ to come in the clouds. And so that's the awesome thing that we must remember. Oh God, may I have such a hatred for evil, a weeping for the abominations. Oh God, that I might have thy seal upon my forehead, that I might be protected in times of judgment. But oh Lord, also, that I might not be an apostate. Well, as we continue on, we find in chapter 7 and verse 9 that there is a great multitude which no man can number. And they are clothed with white robes and have palms in their hands. White robes, of course, speak of purity. Palms speak of righteousness. And they cry with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and upon the Lamb. And all the angels round about cried out likewise. And then the angel who is conducting John through these visions, he said, now what are these that are arrayed in white? And where do they come from? Well, John, of course, doesn't know it. He said, well, sir, you know. And now here we have the interpretation of this great multitude. And in verse 14, he said, sir, thou knowest. And the answer is, these are they which came out of great tribulation, they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. These are they that came out of great tribulation. Now to come out of, you must be in. And these are saints. Beloved, we must be very careful as we exegete this wonderful book to indeed say exactly what the book says. Here is a great multitude of God's people who lose their life in the great tribulation, and who are martyred. Beloved, you cannot come out of unless you are in. And so we can say of a great certainty that the great tribulation that takes place immediately after the abomination of desolation that is set up in the temple of Jerusalem, of which we shall speak later on in this series in more detail, the great tribulation will find the church still on earth. We'll find multitudes who will lay down their lives for Christ and who have washed their garments in the blood of Jesus, meaning that in this time of great martyrdom, they will have indeed applied the blood to every area of their lives, so that they will meet the Lord in purity and in righteousness. And so, you see, as pastors, we have to prepare people for the great tribulation. You see, we have already mentioned those who would apostatize, like Judas, who was a thief, who sold his master for 30 pieces of silver. Like Demas, who forsook the Apostle Paul, who loved this present world. We have to prepare people in this day, and this day is a day of preparation for the times of the book of Revelation. We have to prepare our people as good shepherds. We have to teach them. We have to strengthen them through wisdom and knowledge. We have to encourage them to be filled with the Spirit and anointed. We have to encourage them to be more than overcomers by receiving the grace of God for every trial that they go through, so that they can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth them. Because, beloved, in these great trials that are coming on in the great tribulation, it will be the strong who will take the kingdom. Even as the Lord said, the kingdom of God is taken by violence, the violent will take it by storm. And therefore we've got to train our people to be strong. And you know, for weightlifting, or any form of Olympic activity, it takes long preparation. And so it does, in a very real sense, to prepare the church for the tribulation. We have to prepare them to overcome in the little trials, so that when eventually they come to the great tribulation, they are accustomed to being more than conquerors, and they're accustomed to being strong in the Lord and to being able to do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. May God grant that we be good shepherds preparing our people. Thank you, and the Lord richly bless you.